Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the actual Feast of the Guardian Angels falls in the middle of the week, we are permitted to translate the feast to the Sunday. We translate to this Sunday also in a way to honor St. Michael the Archangel, the Prince of the Heavenly Host. And it gives us an opportunity to contemplate the patronal feast of the parish and what that means. And of course, for most parishioners and most parishes, churches are more akin to country clubs and service-oriented places where people go to have fun. People go to also, unfortunately, I guess because they want to do their own kind of unique suffering and purgatory on earth, go to many parish meetings that are usually interminable. And so there's a dynamic at work where most people could care less about their patronal feast. Most parishes probably don't even celebrate the patronal feast because it doesn't seem so important any longer. Because most have lost their connection with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Most have fallen into the trap of the prince of the world and therefore are living lives of materialism. Lives where they know what's important to them is what they can see and feel and touch. What pleases them, what entertains them. So therefore, it's important for us as parishioners of guardian angels to recognize that as parishioners of guardian angels, just like we are parishioners at St. Rita or St. Athanasius, any other surrounding parishes, we're supposed to have a unique devotion to the patron of the parish, and also a unique knowledge that allows us to share that knowledge, to evangelize about that great saint, or in our case, these powerful angels to others. The Church placed this feast on the universal calendar of Pope Clement X for a reason. The reality of the contemplation of the guardian angels and what powerful allies they are. And our distance from them demonstrates in a very significant way the detachment of most Catholics from the spiritual life, the life of their soul. They consider mostly the life of the body. And since angels are incorporeal beings that have no bodies, that are pure intellect, will, and since these heavenly creatures made by God to please Him and made by God to glorify Him, but also in the case of the guardian angels selected before time began to be assigned to each one of us before we even could even contemplate existence. And each of those angels, like humanity, was not created with sanctifying grace, but what was put before them was all of the truths that they needed to know externally so that they could have sanctifying grace, which is akin to salvation for those that are before the fall. Remember, modern man thinks that he has a right to everything that is God's. You know, it's interesting when you hear Jesus speak in the gospel about calling on his disciples to abase themselves like children. Children today are haughty, arrogant, entitled, impulsive, and really don't care about other people's property or don't believe there are any necessary boundaries for them. So it's very hard for us now to really say we should imitate children to get into heaven because so many children do not have any sense of docility and submission and no sense of a willingness to learn, but only a sense to follow the impulse and to please themselves, to follow their concupiscence to its unfortunate radical end. So we've even lost sight of the gospel because in our Lord's day, children were indeed treated the worst because people were trying to survive. And therefore the child would be the last one to eat because the older members of the family needed the food in order to work to support the family as a whole. So children were automatically docile because they were not so endowed with so many unending gifts and so much of a conviction that they are so special and so unique and that the world must stop to notice them. Perhaps it's a hyper-reaction of Catholics and Christians to abortion, overemphasizing the reality of childhood in opposition to the horror of death and abortion. And it's taken perhaps to the extreme where the children are considered automatically saints and heroes and not capable of concupiscence and sin and therefore not limited by their parents. Whatever the case may be, we know that by virtue of God's creation of the angels and granting them sanctifying grace, there were those who submitted to the test and would fulfill God's will, even each of our guardian angels, who were given that task long before you and I existed, long before the natural world as we know it came into existence, according to some theologians. And so therefore, there were those that said no, the fallen angels, the demons, who are exceedingly dangerous and far superior in their intellect and cleverness than we are, far more clever. And so God in his infinite goodness, because of the fall from grace, does not abandon us to our sinfulness, does not abandon us to death. Not only will he send his Son to suffer and die for us to make atonement, the reason we're here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is always to experience the representation, to participate in the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill, and to see and experience the reality of salvation. To witness not, as too many think today, the Mass being all about us, but to witness the love that God the Son has for God the Father, that you and I can witness sacramentally in the power of God the Holy Spirit. As the Son offers the most fitting and appropriate worship to the Father, we are ideally here to do just that. Not simply come here and soak up graces as though God were our servant, we are sponges. That is a side effect and a truly good one. But our first intention should be to worship God in imitation of the angels. Hence the most perfect form of worship is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which calls us out of our selfish selves and to see God before we see ourselves. And so consider then the reality that our good God sends each of us, even before the Christ comes into the world, guardian angels. Humanity sent angels to guard them, to protect them, not only from worldly harm, but more importantly, from spiritual harm. And Exodus tells us just how powerful these angels are, and what God says, what will happen to our enemies if we heed our guardian angels. And do not think this should be construed as, if I don't like Mrs. McGillicuddy across the street, God's going to take her out for me. Understand, it's really about the reality of the spiritual dangers, how the enemy, the demons, the dark ones, and how the agents of the enemy who have given themselves to sin and therefore to the devil will come and assail us to move us to sin, in particular, the demons. The guardian angels will have the victory over those demons because the demons have a darkened intellect, far superior to us in intellect, but not to the lowest of angels, because they're not darkened by sin, and their power has not been muted by their evil. Make no mistake, the demons are incredibly powerful. And as we've covered in our conferences through this weekend, we'll cover after lunch today in our annual parish campout for the Feast of the Guardian Angels, the reality of the demons, the danger of the demons, and how to avoid letting them dominate your life. But these kinds of things the guardian angels do for us, even for those who would not go to such conferences and would not have the time to read good works on the subject. They're powerful. And that's why the Church proposes this great feast, so that we contemplate their power and then recognize what powerful allies they are and actually have a relationship with them, actually ask for their help, actually be docile to what they teach us and tell us, to actually use them to oppose evil and to oppose the darkness of sin, and to do as Jesus says, who is frightening if you're a fundamentalist Protestant heretic, because you gotta go around cutting off your limbs and you're plucking out your eyes. But we know that means our Lord calling us to cut ourselves off from things, and in particular from persons that may even be close to us who are occasions to sin for us. The guardian angels can assist us in the process of detachment or the process of conversion. And they can assist us in time of temptation, in time of intense temptation in particular, to avoid the traps. They are powerful, uniquely powerful. And therefore, ours is then the opportunity to use the great power as God himself sets forth when he speaks to Moses and the people of the Exodus, sending his angel to lead them through the perilous desert. God has sent us an angel, each and every one of us, so valuable are we to him, to lead us and guide us through this veil of tears. This place that is Saint Anthony of the Desert's guardian angel, let him see, is a huge trap set by the devil. Not that created order is bad, but the devil always perverts the good to make it bad, to try to destroy as many souls as possible. How can one escape this, Saint Anthony asks his guardian angel, all the traps the devil has set on God's good earth? And he reminds them, only by grace can it be done. Thereby showing us how our guardian angel works, giving St. Anthony the answer he needed. And St. Anthony would follow that example in his profound life. You must have a relationship with your guardian angel to be able to hear him, to be able to know his musings, to be able to know his inspirations, to be able to know his encouragements, and yes, to be able to know his admonitions and warnings, and ultimately the reality of his own disappointment and indeed his shame at our sinfulness. St. Bernard of Clairvaux said we should never do anything in front of our guardian angels that we would not do in public. That reminds us that our sins are never private and they will have a rippling effect throughout all our relationships. The guardian angels can assist us to be conscious of his presence, which then reminds us that since he, as Jesus says, is in the face of God, it reminds us that God sees all that we do as well, and therefore should we be most careful to please God in all things we do, publicly and privately. So consider this reality, this great and powerful angel God has sent you. Our Lady, Mary Most Holy herself, told the Venerable Maria Greta that we should be grateful to God that he has sent each of us a guardian angel. The greatest of all human beings, Our Lady Mary Most Holy, directing us to be grateful for guardian angels. Let us not ignore them because that is offensive. Let us not pretend they do not exist because that plays into the trap of the demons. Let us instead listen to the Church who calls us to be aware of our guardian angels and has even placed this annual feast on the calendar for just that reason. Let us see how life can change if we're following heavenly guidance instead of proudly and obtusely following our own guidance, which will ultimately lead to destruction and sin. For as Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Let us indeed be mindful of ourselves. Be mindful, too, in a spirit of charity that Billboards for Life is here, and you'll take the opportunity, if they have anyone at the door after Mass, to make a donation to them or pick up envelopes. We always keep envelopes for Billboards for Life throughout the year on the back table. Be mindful of them and make a concerted effort to make a donation to them in particular this Sunday as a way of honoring the Feast of the Guardian Angels, which will be officially celebrated on Thursday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.